Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
I forgot where the microphone was. I looked up and it wasn't in my face.
And you're going to ask us next question.
Yeah. My question, Joe. What is that smell?
Hey, man, we ain't supposed to be talking about that kind of stuff. I mean, come on. What are you talking about, girl?
It's public radio, right? I'm sorry about that. I mean,
this is too early in the morning to be talking about those kind of things. I mean, what are you talking about that smell? I mean, I took a bath and stuff. Jiminy Christmas. Leave me alone. I mean, it was only last week, but I still took a bath.
It's not you. It's not you.
Oh.
I don't think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. So, question of the day from ehow.com.
Ehow!
No, ehow.
Well, it should be Yahoo.
No.
Yahoo!
EHOW.com.
Okay.
So, what is the most popular berry in the United States?
Rick.
Rick Berry. Oh, no. It's a banana.
What's a banana berry?
According to botanists, bananas are classified as a berry.
Well, there's the first mistake. They're botanists, and so they've lost it in the head.
So, I'm not sure. But anyway, yes.
A banana is a berry?
Yeah. Kat's shaking her head, yes. Yes. Woman of all things green over there. Okay.
Never mind. Well, then.
So, I have another joke of a hint for you.
Ooh.
This is from channel4.com.
Okay.
How do you make an apple turn over?
Well, that's simple.
What?
You just push it down the hill.
There you go.
Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop.
How do you make apple... No, never mind.
Strudel. Strudel. Apple strudel.
So our theme for today would be...
Jack and Jill.
No, that's good, though, but no, no.
Well, they fell down the hill.
I know, but we're talking about...
When they fetched a pail of bananas.
Right. We're talking about, you know, fruit and apple turnovers and...
Oh, man, this is going to be one of the health conscious shows about food and,
you know,
beverages and cooking and all
cooking.
That other stuff. Yeah.
Yes, it is. We're talking about cooking.
Cooking.
Something near and dear to everybody's heart but mine.
Why?
Because what I like to make is reservations.
I am a certified chef.
You were a chef in the military, weren't you?
Kind of.
Okay, you were a cook in the military.
Yeah, kind of. I was cooking things, but not for the guys to eat.
Oh.
No, I'm a certified chef.
Okay.
I can make the greatest messes in the kitchen in the world, and I don't clean it up.
Good.
See?
Yeah.
That's a chef for you.
Well, if you don't even know where the kitchen is, you can't make a mess in it.
True.
You know those big shiny things in the kitchen?
They're called mirrors?
No. The big shiny things, you know, like the oven and the refrigerator. I do know where the refrigerator is because that's where I keep the Diet Coke.
Well, see, hey, you're halfway home.
Oh, so our curious saying for the day?
Yes, ma'am.
Is a watched pot never boils.
A true statement if ever there was one.
From phrases.uk.com.
Okay.
Time feels longer when you're waiting for something to happen. That's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
A watched pot never boils is one of the proverbs that is ascribed to Poor Richard.
The old almanac.
The pseudonym that Ben Franklin used when publishing his widely popular annual almanac. Franklin, a tireless and industrious polymath, was fixated on such improving aphorisms and published numerous of such in the guise of Poor Richard between 1732 and 1758.
Of course, Franklin was also a celebrated scientist and would have been aware that watching a pot has no effect on how long it takes to boil. Like many of the most effective proverbs, this one is poetic rather than literal.
That's right.
It still works. I mean, if you watch it, it never boils. You turn your back and it's like, blah, 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 blah. Snacking on you.
It's because it has more endurance than you do.
Yeah, just wants to make fun of me.
I have a top 10 list from Little Fivers.
Top 10 little fivers, that means we have...
Nine. Yes.
Okay.
Do you watch food shows?
All the time.
You watch like Iron Chef and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
And then I attempt to make those foods.
Oh, do you really?
And the key word here was attempt.
Oh, okay.
And then you order and go and get your...
Takeout.
Pie Takeout, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
He's wonderful.
Rachel Ray.
Yes.
She can cook for me anytime.
She's cute. She's a cutie pie. Yep. Well, here's the top 9 silly names for food shows.
All right.
Yeah.
Really? Out of the gate?
Yeah.
Number 9, okra, win free stuff.
Number 8, America's Next Top Dishwasher.
Oh, that's already settled. That's the guy up in Cleveland. Number 7, Absolute Fix. Absolute Fisk.
I don't know what it means either.
Neither do I. Next.
Number 6, Stuff My Dad Burns.
Number 5, Spaghetti Night in Canada.
Number 4, Ally McBLT.
Now that one I like.
You have to be old enough to understand that one.
Yeah. Number 3, Celebrity Pop-Tarts. Don't ask.
Number 2, Always Carry an Extra Sandwich.
Why?
Somebody might steal the first one. I don't know.
And the number 1 silly name for a food show.
Burned. Notice?
Oh, yes. And this is all about smelling again, I think. From dumbcriminals.com, today's Dumb Criminal. This one is entitled Foul Play. What's the worst part about cooking? Some people may find themselves making food for distinguished critics who are hard to please, a.k.a. their picky children. Others may genuinely have no idea what to do, and they end up burning the water. And apparently a few lucky ones even have their food stolen in the middle of its cooking.
A woman in Virginia called the police after returning home and finding her crock pot empty of the chicken she had put in earlier. Instead of assuming that she had neglected to start cooking it in the first place, the woman very intelligently decided that someone had broken in and stole it. Yes, yeah, snatched a half-raw chicken from a boiling crock pot. According to HB, there was no sign of forced entry, but the woman did not own any pets that could have been culprits. Anyway, no one had dinner that night.
Oh, this is an easy case to solve.
Uh-huh.
Yogi Bear.
What?
Yogi Bear.
Why?
He's always stealing the picnic baskets with the food in it.
That's true. So speaking of boiling water.
Boiling water?
I actually burned boiling water. I actually did burn water.
How do I respond to that?
This is my son's favorite story about his mummy.
Okay.
I was going to make macaroni and cheese,
mm-hmm.
and I was always taught to put oil in the bottom of the pan, you know, before you put the water in.
Okay.
Because it keeps the macaronis from sticking together.
All right.
So I did that, and then I got on the phone, and I forgot, and all the water boiled away, and the oil was still there, and it ignited.
That was a long phone call.
Yes, it was. Mom, the water's on fire.
It's the Cleveland River all over again. My best story for cooking was this one time I was in an extreme hurry around Thanksgiving, and I bake the pumpkin pies for the year.
Oh.
And so I was grabbing flour and putting my crust together and whole nine yards, and what I didn't realize, I had not grabbed flour. I had grabbed powdered sugar.
Oh, ooh, yum.
So halfway through the baking process, the smell coming out of the kitchen was a sweet, burnt smell, like what the heck was going on.
Mm.
And when we finally got the pumpkin pies out of the oven, we had what we now officially call the no-crust pumpkin pie.
Oh.
Because that powdered sugar had melted away.
Oh, my gosh. And,
you know, there was no crust. It was just nastiness.
Was it good anyway?
Actually, it was good. Part? Yeah. I mean, it had a sweet taste to it.
I bet.
Just no crust.
Mm.
And for those who hate crust, it was a perfect pie.
That works. Yeah.
For all of us who want crust with our pie, it's a now point of humiliation.
Otherwise, it was custard, right?
Every
pumpkin
year.
Custard.
Yeah, there you go. Alrighty. From Sport Time. Story Time. I can read today, can't I?
No.
Story Time. From guys-sports.com. Moments of silence.
How bachelors cook.
It was a positive
or not.
Thing. Slowly he turns.
I really need to finish this coffee.
Step.
I just so need to finish this coffee. Two confirmed bachelors sat talking. Their conversation drifted from politics to cooking. I got a cookbook once, said the first, but I could never do anything with it. Too much fancy cooking in it, A asked the second.
You said it. Every one of the recipes began the same way. Take a clean dish and... When did they sneak into my house?
I don't know. Cooking the books.
Ooh.
Lynn belongs to a diet club, and she was lamenting that she'd gained weight. She told us that she had made her family's favorite luscious cake over the weekend and added that they'd eaten half of it at dinner that evening.
The next day, Lynn continued, she keeps staring at the other half until finally she cut a thin slice for herself. One slice led to another, and soon the whole cake had vanished. She went on to tell us how upset she was with her lack of willpower and how she knew her husband would be so disappointed. Everyone commiserated until someone asked what her husband said when he found out.
Lynn smiled broadly and quipped, he never found out. I made another cake and ate half of that, too. Those one thin slices do kind of, they can add up to the half of the cake really quick.
I fully aware of that.
Mm-hmm. I have never done that.
What's the best thing you make? Although I know you don't cook, but what's the best thing you make?
I cook lasagna.
Ooh.
I have Grandma LaPala's recipe for lasagna.
Mm, sweet.
It was good stuff. Of course, she made her own sauce. I don't do that. I buy Prego.
Oh. Take a good lasagna and ruin it.
Put a little ricotta and a little mozzarella, some parsley and a little egg.
Don't forget the cottage cheese.
No, I don't put cottage cheese in.
Really?
No. Pure ricotta.
I hate cottage cheese except in lasagna.
No. Yum. So, from another one from GuySports.com.
Okay.
A little fast facts. Will and Guy's top 10 best food trivia.
Okay.
I think there's more than 10. Lemons contain more sugar than strawberries.
So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The onion is named after a Latin word meaning large pear. Pearl. Large pearl. Pear. Pearl. Large pearl.
Pearl.
That's a large pearl, Pearl.
Potato crisps, otherwise in America known as potato chips, were invented by a North American Indian called George Crum.
Ooh. I would argue that fact.
That makes good sugar cookies.
Potato chip crumbs.
Potato chip. You crumble the potato chips up and you put them in the sugar cookie batter.
Well, if you take potato chips and Wheaties and crush them all up together and then put it as a crumb on top of a macaroni casserole.
Ooh.
You get a nice baked top, too.
Ooh, I'm getting hungry.
During a lifetime, the average person eats about 35 tons of food.
Within 2 hours of standing in daylight, milk loses between half and two-thirds of its vitamin B contact.
Come back. There are about 100,000 bacteria in 1 liter of drinking water. Oh, don't say that. All the germaphobes in the world, and I will not drink water because of the bacteria.
Bakers used to be fined if their loaves were underweight, so they used to add an extra loaf to every dozen, just in case. Hence the expression, a baker's dozen.
Mm-hmm. In France, people eat approximately 500 million snails per year.
Ew.
No wonder they're cranky.
It has been traditional to serve fish with a slice of lemon since olden times, when people believed that the fruit's juice would dissolve any bones that they accidentally swallowed.
And don't go over the edge of the ocean. The first breakfast cereal ever produced was shredded wheat.
Oh, huh.
Ah, yeah, that's interesting.
Reindeer like to eat bananas.
Huh?
I don't know how they get bananas in the North Pole, but I guess Santa picks them up on the route back.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think they peel them first?
If you fly for me today, I'll give you a banana tree. The man who played the voice of Bugs Bunny was allergic to carrots. Mel Blanc was allergic to carrots.
Yes, he was allergic to carrots.
Interesting.
Isn't that funny?
I like it.
I have another little fun fact.
Okay.
The 6 ounces of chocolate, there are approximately 60 insect particles.
Excellent.
Yeah. And nice. But they're protein, so it's okay.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If anybody believes that everything that they eat is always clean and has nothing particular in it, you are silly.
Doesn't the FDA say that there can be so many parts per million or whatever?
And especially in hot dogs that are non-beef, yes.
There you go. Just jokes from channel4.com again.
Okay.
These are the ones you love. These are punny jokes.
Okay.
Two peanuts walk into a really rough bar.
Unfortunately, one was salted.
Assaulted, honey. One was assaulted. Peanut.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Lettuce.
Lettuce who?
Lettuce in and we'll tell you.
No. What did the grape say when the elephant stood on it?
Nothing. It just let out a little whine.
Why did the biscuit cry?
Because his dad had been away for so long.
Oh. No, we already did that one. What do you get if you're boiling water? What do you get if you pour boiling water down a rabbit hole?
Hot cross bunny.
What is small, red, and whispers?
Oh, horseradish. Like that one?
Oh. From crack.com, here is our weekly rant.
This is good. This is really good, but you have to, it's subtle humor. It's very subtle humor.
So the title is called Cooking for Your Doomed Relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They have cookbooks for everything these days. Chicken, pasta, I mean everything. Still, while there are certainly a lot of cookbooks, they don't exactly have cookbooks for everything. They may have cookbooks for Thanksgiving, cookbooks for attending large groups, and cookbooks for intimate evenings, but not every culinary occasion is represented. Some demographics are completely overshadowed by the demanding, just a regular cookbook, please market. And just because some of them demographics aren't as loud as the majority of the cookbook buying community doesn't mean that their needs should be ignored. Right?
That's why I'm proud to present my new cookbook, Cooking for Your Doomed Relationship.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This book offers no advice on how to fix your doomed relationship, but that doesn't mean you should go hungry while you navigate those cold and unforgiving waters. So please enjoy this brief sample from the cookbook.
Personal Space Nachos. Now, nachos are a delicious and easy-make recipe of Mexican origins. There's a lot of room to get creative and add your own personal flair, and they're just perfect for telling that special someone that she's suffocating you with her gradual and emotionless wearing down of the identity you spent so many years thoughtfully cultivating.
So here's the recipe. First, the first thing you're going to want to do is deal with the meat, even if you're not necessarily ready for it. Begin browning it on your stove in a standard frying pan with a little bit of water. Once all of the pink is gone from the meat, drain it and return it to the heat.
Now add all the spices and slowly add the Velveeta cheese so it melts and mixes in with the meat.
Add in black beans, onions, mushrooms, and chipotle peppers. Stir, but also look at your mixture for a while it cooks. Really look at it.
Kind of overwhelming, isn't it, right? There's a lot in front of you now, a helping mixture of spices and vegetables, all with their own traits and idiosyncrasies, and it's up to you to know how to properly handle them. Around this time, you should start to realize that maybe you're in a bit over your head, but there's no turning back now.
So once everything mixes together, put the high-maintenance cheese and meat mixture aside for now. But don't forget about it, because you're not getting away from it anytime soon.
So now we move to the chips, preparing the chips. Spread a nice, comfortable layer of refried beans on a baking sheet and then place your tortilla chips on top.
Imagine the chips as your life before you decided to move in with your significant other. The chips represent everything that made up your essence as a single, independent, and ambitious 20-something. The chips are sharp and crisp. They could go anywhere and do anything. Should you dip them in salsa? Crush them up and put them into a spicy soup? Use a layer of them to top off a nice chili? How about eating them all by yourself with no outside accoutrements, enjoying their natural, unique flavor and style? You can do it because the potential within these chips is limitless.
Now, while the chips are clearly defined and immediately recognizable, they're also incredibly delicate. It's not hard to imagine that with a little bit of focus and unrelated force, these chips of your identity can be completely crushed until nothing identifiable about the original chips, their majestic peaks, their admirable versatility, their edge remains intact. All it takes is some careless, selfish, messed up faced handling, and those once assumptions crisps will be reduced to mere crumbs, utterly indistinguishable from the cracker crumbs, cookie crumbs, even specks of pure garbage, which they will be forever mingled in hard to clean kitchen crevices beneath the refrigerator.
What you want to do, or rather what societal pressures are going to force you into believing you want to do, is invite the meat and cheese mix from earlier to move in with the chips in the, in retrospect, too small baking sheet. Start small by just pouring a thin layer of the mixture on top of the chips. Throw in some more chips on top of that cheese because, well, it's nice to at least temporarily think the chips have some control over the sheet. This will pass, and you realize when you have to layer even more cheese and meat on top of the second layer of chips. Note that the top layer of cheese is now dripping down, invading every available nook and cranny that the chips were foolish enough to think would remain free and open forever. You can throw an additional layer of chips on top of this cheese if you want, but just know that more meat and cheese will find its way on top of that layer, so you might just be better off saving yourself the trouble. If you're not sure what to do, just keep pouring more and more cheese mix on top of everything. Really, really, really smother those chips.
If they were a person with goals, those chips would be saying right now, I can't breathe right now.
And then, when you've added all the meat and cheese dip so the chips no longer resemble their once proud and seemingly selves, toss some black olives, chopped jalapenos, and diced tomatoes on top of the cheese. I didn't include this in the above ingredients list. They're meant to serve as little unexpected, potentially unpleasant surprises. And even if you didn't sign up for all this excess condiment baggage, it's part of the whole package, so you just have to live with it now.
Now, we have to set the oven to just impossible to live with, and it will shock you to know how soon, your perfectly fine on their own chips will be transformed into a completely different, though not necessarily better, dish for everyone to enjoy.
Yes, personal space nachos. And then, to go with that, we have roasted potato and I hate your mother soup.
Yeah.
Making homemade soup from scratch is no easy feat. It requires lots of time and attention. You're cooking multiple ingredients at once, and if you over or undercook any of one of these ingredients, you risk ruining the whole meal. It's a delicate process. The man who can effortlessly maintain a complex multi-step meal like roasted potato and I hate your mother soup is a skilled craftsman indeed.
Not that any of this matters, because there's no way of pleasing that shrew of a woman. We're going to have time to do all this one?
No.
Okay. Massage the potatoes in oil and salt and casually observe that their thin skinness serves as a nice foil to the thick skin of armor you'll need to wear in order to deflect a barrage of insults your girlfriend's beast of a mother will no doubt hurl at you throughout the evening.
When you've gotten the need to strangle out of your system, discard this and mix the cooked potatoes in a pot with bay leaf, fresh thyme, and 5 cups of boiling water. Cover tightly and set aside for 1 hour. To pass the time, perhaps point out the fact that you use fresh thyme from the farmer's market instead of the crummy store-bought ground thyme, and then find yourself disheartened because in no way you're surprised when your girlfriend's perpetually emasculating witch of a mother reminds you that if you have time to go all the way to the farmer's market, you should have had time to better find a better job and a decent haircut. Oh, my.
Help me.
So, anyway, those are all from the relationship cookbook.
We may have to save some of that and come back and revisit
it
another time.
Yes, we are. There's
a lot to it, and it's just absolutely hilarious. But
in the meantime, I have a top 10 list.
Which means we have 5,722...
Eight
list. Okay.
Eight from littlefivers.com.
Little Fivers.
This is the top 8 signs you added too much of something to a dish.
Okay.
Number 8 is garlic. There was so much in the spaghetti sauce that even the vampires in the movie you were watching died.
That's a lot of garlic.
Yeah.
Number 7, smoke essence. The barbecue smells so smoky you attracted the fire department.
Number 6, spam. Go ahead, sing it. I know you're going to sing it. Go
spam,
ahead.
Spam, 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 spam.
Because any amount of spam is too much spam.
Wrong. Spam is good. Especially when you're in the military and you have nothing else to eat, but they give you the spam. Nummy, nummy, nummy. Cocoa. You put so much in your hot chocolate, you serve it as brownies. Yes.
Oatmeal. Your meatloaf came out a bit more of a doorstop. Doorstop oatmeal.
That's a brick of a stiff. Anyway, number 3, sherry. What are you talking about her for? Oh, no, sherry the drink. You put so much into your drunken chicken and start going to AA meetings. Sorry.
Oh, Pepper, you haven't seen that much sniffling, snuffing, and nose rubbing since your last encounter with Lindsay Lohan.
Ooh. And the number 1 sign you added too much of something to a dish?
Habanero peppers. When you take the lid off your crock pot of chili, the paint starts peeling off the walls on the outside of your neighbor's house.
Yes, I like it. That's some good hot stuff there. It's like, I like habaneros. What's wrong with that?
Habaneros?
Ghost chip peel. I like hot food, so.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm Italian, so garlic. Garlic is good, but garlic is not hot.
Quick story. We had a friend of ours. We were on Guam. Lived on Guam. Mm-hmm. And they have a pepper over there.
Oh, I love your Guam stories.
They're really, really,
you lived
really,
there for
really
like 2 weeks and you have so many stories.
3 years.
Oh, okay.
3.5 years, actually. But who was counting? Me, because I want to go back. Anyways. So a guy comes on the island. He's bragging about, because we all eat hot peppers. And on Guam, everything they make is with this thing called a boonie pepper. Now, boonie peppers are...
Boonie?
Boonie. B-O-O-N-I-E. Boonie.
Okay.
But they're hot. And they have like a half an hour burn time. And so we tell Falfuzz, which is his nickname afterwards, is that you can't eat these peppers. He goes, yes, I can. I said, no, you can't. So the short end of the story is that we gave him three peppers, and he just swallowed them.
Oh.
He did not eat them. So finally, the fourth one, we challenged him, and he started to eat it. You know, he was exaggerating how he was chomping on it and eating it. And we could watch his face start to turn white. He starts sweating. He's shivering. Next thing you know, and the worst thing you do is drink water.
Yeah.
Head full. We used to have 55-gallon drums for beer and soda. Mm-hmm. Head first into the drum, drinking this water, which is just moving it around. The best part of the story is in the morning, because we all lived in the military complex, and so you get up in the morning, and everybody does their bathroom routine at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's six quads that all use the same bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're doing our SSS in the morning, we hear this, and we're like, what the heck?
Oh.
And you know, so we go, Falfuzz, is that you?
No!
Well, I need to say, the three peppers he ate plus the fourth had decided to haunt him in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, his first week on the island was not a pleasant one.
I guess not. I have another food story.
Yeah?
I do.
Okay.
I don't remember it.
Oh, good.
But, yeah.
That was funny.
That was really funny. I went to tell you this food story, and it just went poof. Just poof out of my head. That's the kind of morning we're having here on Happy Radio.
37 seconds after we go off air. She'll remember it.
I will.
So we'll have to write it down.
So instead we have rumination.
Rumination from ruminate.com. I really don't see what's so great about cooking with gas. The onions caramelize evenly and the souffle seems to be turning out well. But, oh, man, are they... My intestine's killing me.
Kind of goes with your last story.
It does.
If I ran a pizza delivery service, my big promo would be 30 items or it's free. That way, if the cook only put 27 or 28 items on a pizza, the driver could always scrounge up a few more under the car seat before he makes a delivery.
Oh, I just got a junk email with a straight line that says, grow gigantic overnight. The joke's on them, though, because my wife's cooking already took care of that.
We have some Irish blessings here.
All right.
It is the quiet pigs that eat the meal.
In other words, do not feed their fryers.
Oh, and this is from Corsonet.com.
Oh.
The well-fed do not understand the lean.
True.
Oh, we really cooked up a good show today, didn't we?
This is a stew of a different kind.
Yes. So, but that's all we have for today. I'm Kat.
Wait a minute. You didn't let me put in the pot joke.
What?
Never mind. I'm Joe.
And together we're...
Just Desserts.
No, together we're...
Cat soup,
the best of internet humor on the radio.
Folks, have a great week.